Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Not getting enough Triple M footy? Or did you miss something and need to go back and have another listen? Get the Triple M NRL podcast. It's available right now on the Triple M NRL app.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place.
I've got to respect the ball.
You're simply the best.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Woo! Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
2, 3, 4.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sinbin.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sinbin. Thanks, as always, to our sponsors, the Mitsubishi Triton, because you cannot frighten a Mitsubishi Triton. And also Tyre Power, who are with us. KO, footy's back. KO is the ticket to the best seat in your house. So we haven't spoken much about Bronson Cherry, but don't worry. We'll get to Bronson. We'll get back to the Dragons. There's a whole big stack of things to talk about today, Gordy. We'll need a shoehorn and a jar of Asso to get it all in, as we like to say. Now, of course, the Cowboys had a big win over the weekend too. They're only playing the Titans, though. Just kidding, Gordy, just kidding. It was a good win for the Cowboys, who, of course, have purchased well in the off-season, which we'll talk about now, with their fullback, Valentine Holmes, who joins us on Sunday NRL. Hello, Val.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Congratulations, mate. An absolute buzz to have you back in the NRL.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's definitely good to be back, obviously back home, back in Townsville, and, you know, with friends and family where it all started. And it's a good team. You know, it's really exciting to be here.
Val, the break that everybody was forced to endure, how did you spend your time during that, getting yourself ready for the game?
Yeah, I don't know. We couldn't really do too much. I did a bit of weights around the house, what they gave us, some stretching, rolling. You know, I went down to the park, did a couple of running sessions here and there. But we couldn't really do much together, and I'm the type of guy that likes to train with at least one or two other guys. I don't really, you know, like training by myself. I can't motivate myself. But that's something I had to work on, and, you know, I managed to do some of it. So it was all right.
There was talk after rounds one and two that you're still a little bit away from being back to the best that we saw when you were at Cronulla. Did you see this as an opportunity to try and fast-track that a little bit, given you weren't playing games?
Yeah, definitely. I did a lot of homework on the computer, you know, that the Cowboys green, and they gave me some vision stuff from their games last year, as well as the past two games we played, the round one and two. And, you know, I just wanted to do a lot of work on that. And I was watching a lot of, you know, footage of fullbacks from last year, how they went. And obviously the game has gotten a bit faster now. And, you know, there's a lot of good skilled players coming in. And especially now with the one ref rule, it's a bit faster and something I probably enjoy more. But yeah, obviously I want to try to get back to that form in 2018.
How did you find it, Val, from the first two rounds to the third?
Yeah, it was faster. It was good, though. Like, it was, I enjoyed it. I don't mind the one ref. You know, he obviously sees, he can't see everything, but, you know, the game seemed like it was flowing more. Both teams, there was no, like, arguing within the referee's decisions. Usually one will say something and then the other one might have a different opinion, where just the one ref will just say whatever he sees, and usually everyone just goes ahead with that, which is good. And one thing I don't really like is the six again rule kind of keeps the fullbacks out of it, because it doesn't bring the yardage kicks in. So that's one thing that I really, you know, like to be brought into the game, is I'm getting the yardage kicks. But other than that, it's pretty good.
How much do you think the new rules and the way the game has operated this weekend, how much more adjustments do you think we'll make before we settle down into a style? Or do you think what we've seen over the weekend is pretty much the way it's going to stay?
Yeah, I mean, so far, from what I've heard, you know, it's all been good. We've had really good views, especially on Thursday. You know, people watching the game, obviously it's been a while since sports been on, but, you know, from what I've seen, I've been watching most of the games. I watched Sharks in that play last night, and I've been enjoying it. I like the one ref. I like the new rules. It's obviously keeping the hookers and the fullbacks, is getting them a bit more involved. All the little nippy fellas getting more carries and helping out the middles there, because obviously they're going to be a bit tired with that. But I like it. You know, it's the past couple of years it's been a bit slowed down because of the wrestle, everyone knows, but you know, now that the ref can easily just blow six again, it's you know, going to stop that wrestle, I think.
As a fullback, is an element of the six again that you like, that when you've got the football, if your team's got the ball, you're attacking, you can just poke up and start to support some of your bigger men and look for an offload and some second phase and that ruck area, because of the fatigue factor, there are more opportunities, or?
Yeah, definitely. That's the one thing, benefit that I'll take out of it as well. Like, that's one thing we spoke about, is if we do tend to get the six again on our side, that's one thing I spoke with, obviously, Jason and Frankie and Johnny, the boys that can offload a lot, and I just more so wanted them. You know, they usually probably get on the front foot straight away, but almost look for an offload or something in the first few tackles, because usually they'd be blowing the six again round three or four, tackle three or four. So they'll be already kind of tired in that, the defense. And it's a good time to get, obviously myself or Drinky, there's the quick guys just running around through the middle third. And that's what I feel like I've been seeing anyways this week.
You touched on the wrestle a minute ago as well. Is that a good thing from your perspective as a player, that element of the game is starting to become more limited and more nullified?
Yeah. I mean, everyone has to be slowed down. This, the boring game, and everyone wants to see a fast game, and the skill, the passing, the offloads, the outside-inside balls. And, when there's a lot of wrestle, obviously slows it down. It keeps guys like Tedesco, Trbojevic, all these guys out of the game, Damien Cook, and everyone knows Melbourne, the king of wrestling, so it's probably not going to be the advantage for them.
Hey, Val, what's how long until we see you back at your best? I know that you spent a bit out of the game, and it's, the 8-week layoff didn't help. When are the Cowboys going to see the Val Holmes that we all want to see?
Yeah, I'm hoping in the next few weeks. I mean, I know the season's obviously a bit shorter, and there's no kind of breaks, so I want to try and find, my best form almost straight away, so I can build good combinations with, our team now, and by the time Morgo gets back and we have a full-strength side, that's when I want to be, hitting my peak and playing consistently week in, week out. And right now, I feel like I'm pretty happy with the game I had on the weekend. Obviously, I probably would have liked to have a bit more touches, but just from what I had done with the team, I was pretty happy, and I can build from that.
Yeah, when will the brother-in-law be back, mate?
Yeah, I keep asking him. He's giving me the same answer. It's just probably over a month or so. Okay. Don't want to rush him. Obviously, Kufo's a good young halfback there, and Michael's helping him out a lot, and he seems to be going well, but we want to make sure Nick gets everything right before he jumps back into it straight away.
Okay, mate, good to catch up with you. Just one thing before you go, Val. I thought, we talked about recruiting in the last 18 months for the Cowboys, and Reece Robson, who's an inclusion this year. Gee, he was good when he came off the bench the other night.
Yeah, he played unreal. We've always kind of expected big things from him. He's obviously a good player coming up through the 20s and the 18s, stuff down south and in Dragons. He's always made those rep teams, and to see him obviously progress through the first grade and to put on performance like that, coming off the bench. We weren't really winning the game convincingly until he kind of came on and took control, and obviously scored that double and got on the back of some good runs off our middles, and obviously shows, he's 20, 21, and obviously play like that, it goes to show what a good signing it was.
Good on you, mate. Good to catch up. Val Holmes joining us from the North Queensland Cowboys. Thanks, mate.
Thanks,
there he is. And, of course, Triple M Townsville, of course, take our show. So hello to all our friends up there. Wade Chiesa and Nico are the call team up there for Triple M NRL in the Cowboys. They do a fantastic job. And, of course, Townsville, Cairns and all that area, Gordy, they love their rugby league.
Absolutely they do.
So, boys, what we'll do, we've got to speak to Bronson Cherry about Bronson Cherry, not to Bronson Cherry. I beg your pardon. We've got to speak about him before Paul leaves at at 3, sorry, Hoops. Did you want to say something, mate?
Yeah, just before we kick on as well, the television ratings throughout this weekend have gone absolutely off the charts for Fox and also for Channel 9. So the cumulative audience for that game between the Broncos and the Eels is the highest rating regular season match since round one in 2014.
Wow.
So the highest rating game in six seasons.
That's awesome.
That's from Thursday night. The rest of the numbers are all still getting crunched, but certainly last night's game as well went gangbusters between the Melbourne Storm and the Canberra Raiders.
Wow.
I think that'll be in the top five club games of all time on Fox, and most likely from a Storm point of view, second to only Cameron Smith's 400th game. So people are clearly got a real appetite for rugby league and live sport, and it's terrific for the game that we're getting so many people tuning in.
Yeah, good on you, mate. Hoops, Paul Kent and Gordon Tallis joining us. It's the Sunday Sin Bin right across the Triple M network. Now, my poll, I've just had a quick look at my poll, and it looks like most people just agree with me. The poll today being, do you like the sound effects, the crowd sound effects, when the NRL is on? You can vote via Twitter, @MMNRL, and you can do it via Facebook.
It's going
70%
Durko.
Agree.
People love it.
Yeah, 70% agree.
It.
So to all you TV people who are listening, and I know you all listen to this show, when you're not peacocking, talking about facts and figures and ratings, I can tell you that they are loving the sound effects. We're going to take a break. I'm going to clunk these three, their heads together like they're the Three Stooges, and we'll come back and continue as Triple M rocks the footy.
Sunday Sin Bin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, we do. Right across the Triple M network up and down the east coast of Australia. And, of course, in the COVID-19 environment, we found out yesterday we have listeners right around the world. In Lebanon, right through into Amsterdam, just about every corner of the globe, there are people listening at @MMNRL. Paul Kent, James Hooper, Gordon Tallis and Maroon. Well, Paul Kent, the big news through the week, of course, was the sad news, but big news at the same time, that Bronson Cherry from the Cronulla Sharks provisionally suspended for a positive drug test, a banned substance.
Yeah, very disappointing news for the game right on the eve of the resumption. And that obviously had been around for some time, and only this week the Asada decided to let obviously Bronson Cherry know and the Sharks know and the NRL know, and he was immediately stood down. It was embarrassing for the game. I tell you what, I will say, having a look at the cocktail of drugs that are involved, one, I was stunned to see it, the naivety that would pass a drug test. And I question sometimes how people can put themselves in situations allegedly where they think they can get away with this.
Yeah, well,
it was a really silly, naive mistake, particularly with the amount of education players get these days. There's no way you can defend this. And we've seen in the past some players or some people in other sports where they've gone positive for things, and they've claimed that they took a supplement that at the time they took it wasn't on the ban list, but subsequently was on the ban list. We see people claim they have contaminated meat. And to be honest, there's always enough doubt in there that you can believe probably one in every five probably was right.
Mm.
But this one's just a cocktail of anabolic steroids, five different anabolic steroids in the system.
So
we'll get accused of Cronulla bashing, but there's a lot of good people at the Sharks. You know, there are genuinely a lot of good people amongst the playing group and amongst the power brokers at the club. And I think Dino Mazzatesta is the right person to try and fix the issues that are at the club. But there's been a culture allowed to build there where bending the rules and in some cases breaking them. And you can go back to the peptide thing. You can go to the salary cap scandal.
But I don't know if this is the culture.
The penalty for. Well, what is it?
Well, I think this is more a lone wolf. I don't think this has in any way been endorsed or ignored by the club. Even ignored by the club. I think that if anybody at Cronulla knew the category of drugs that were being allegedly consumed by Bronson Cherry,
well, they would have had to tell him to stop.
But they would have just. But there's comments. No one. There's no way in the sporting world that you can continue to take drugs like that and get away with it.
Yeah.
It's so stupid, it's almost incomprehensible. If you wrote a fiction novel and said a guy was taking these drugs, you wouldn't believe it because the drugs are so obviously illegal to take in professional sports.
Mm, mm. Yeah, but can't you see, Kenny, and this is my point, that because of the way that they've bent the rules and in some cases broken them over the course of the last decade at that club. Can't you see how to a young kid who's coming through the system, the message that that is sending therefore lends itself to maybe you do take a few risks in areas where you shouldn't go?
Well, look, I can see how that would create it for one individual, but I don't think that suggests there's a culture that continues to exist. I think there was a poor culture there in the past in regards to this where they're looking for advantages other teams didn't have. But I don't think that's there anymore. I think Johnny Morris is a really decent, upstanding guy. I think if he had any inclination that Bronson Cherry was taking drugs like this, he would have stepped in and said, listen, mate, immediately stop.
Boys, let me bring this fellow into the argument. Sunday Sinbin, and the chap is named Roger Fabry. He's a well-known sprint coach in the Sydney area who has worked with a lot of NRL, a lot of sports people around the place. And he's going to chat with us about what's going on with Bronson Cherry, because Bronson, he's been working with Bronson Cherry as well. So, Roger Fabry, welcome to the Sunday Sinbin, my friend.
Thanks very much for having me on, boys. How are you?
Fantastic.
Yeah, Roger, look, the reason I think makes you particularly relevant in this story is the day before Bronson Cherry was stood down and by the SADA for the drug tests, he had spoken so positively about the work he was doing with you, how his speed had improved, his body was getting stronger. I'm just wondering, from your point of view, was there anything suspicious about the way his body was reacting, the times he was running and how quickly he was improving?
Kenny, this is it's a very difficult subject to be able to talk because obviously I feel for the guy strongly. The answer to your question is no. The reason being is because simply that footballers that I've had come through, and I'm specifically, we've got to refer apples with apples, and so we'll refer to footballers against other footballers that I've trained. The opportunities that I do get to train with them are very limited. Usually it's in the off-season. By the time these guys have wound down in the off-season and start ramping it back up, also limits me as far as time is concerned. Why this is so important is because with Bronson, and I've also said this previously as well, I replicate it with Hain as well. So when Hain decided to change from the NRL to the NFL, it gave me a good chance to work him like I would coach an athlete as opposed to coaching with a footballer. You may think that's very similar, but it's very different. The program design is very different. The technical execution, the mechanical correction is very different. For them to allow me to build the speed program and design it properly because I don't have time against me. More importantly, what I don't have against me is the other commitments that the football training brings along with it. I don't get a bashed up athlete. I don't have an athlete that has to kick, tackle, pass or wrestle before they get to me. And the rate of the improvement that this guy was getting was the consistent type of rate of improvement that Hain also got when they specifically solely projected all their intention and focus and consistency and frequency to speed alone.
Right. So what about his size, though? Does the speed diet tie into size? Because certainly he put a lot of weight on.
Powers. I mean, certainly he put on size. I noticed that it was a lot thicker. But, you know, also by just doing nothing, because he's been, as far as I knew, had been rehabilitating from his shoulder injury. I don't know how much work he had been doing with the Sharks. I didn't get privy to that information, but what I did see was a guy trimmed down because of the hard work. If you've ever seen, I've never seen a fat sprinter. Mm. So the amount of work that we were doing and the type of the speeds that we were working through was very consistent with a person who was dotting every I and crossing every T, as opposed to many other players who I had come down to me in the COVID period who had done not much or if anything at all. This was quite the contrary.
Have you spoken to him at all, Roger?
No, I've tried to reach out and I'm waiting to speak to him because it's important to me that he's doing okay. I feel I have a role, as I've had many roles, like with many guys that have made mistakes previously prior to him coming to me, like Matt Lodge, like Todd Carney, like Jake Friend, like David Warner. All these guys also made mistakes.
You can attract them.
I certainly can. I mean, my portfolio of athletes, probably I've got more sinners than priests, and which just goes to show, and I think I've got the highest profile athletes on my books and quite fortunate, quite blessed to work with them. But I think my role also becomes, you know, I'm a known sufferer for mental health. I think that the players can relate to that. And I've also been a known person that's made an indiscretion and somehow, some way, tried and still continually to try and turn my life around.
All right, Rog, good to catch up with you, mate. I see you're training the crowd down there at Centennial Park. You have got a real all sorts there, but they look like they're doing having fun. I was going to jump in there one day. Sorry, Kenty.
Roger, just one thing. Look, all this sprint work you do, Anthony here is known for getting on the stepper. Does it actually provide any benefit? As a bloke who's an expert in this area, for a bloke like Anthony to get on the stepper, is there a waste of time?
Yeah.
Well, it's a waste of time, you say, Roger.
Absolute waste of time.
How do you mean, mate?
Well, I don't know. He's saying to me, is it trying to replicate speed?
Then no, it's just...
If it's just a step up and trying to lose some weight, then go for it. But if you want to look sharp, then you should be with me. You're wasting your time.
He reckons his calves look immaculate.
Mm.
I think they look awful.
Roger, I do see you there. I do see
you're
you there.
You're outstanding, Roger.
At Centennial Park. I think one day I'll jump the fence and say good day and maybe through my paces.
I'd like that. Thanks so much for having me on, boys.
Good on you, Roger. Good to catch up. Roger Fabry, he's a renowned sprint coach around New South Wales, and he's done a lot of good for some people in our beloved sport. And I do get on the stepper, and, you know, it's very good for your cardio. I'm 54 years old, and I feel great.
Well, yeah. It's purely superficial why you get on the stepper. You tell what us. It's buns of steel. You like to go around, and you like to proclaim buns of steel. And even more disturbing for all of our listeners... You told me something this last week about how you've been training in the stepper, in the nude at home. Mate, I genuinely worry about you sometimes.
But I can't see what the problem is with that. If I'm at home in my own home and there's no one there and I'm in the nude in my own garage on the stepper, what is the problem with that? There's no one else there.
Oh, mate. That image. Wow.
There's many problems with that.
Well, I mean, it's only...
The fact that you can't even realise that is a problem.
I can't see if there was somebody there.
No, Anthony, look, seriously, look, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Okay?
Right.
But the fact is, mate, seriously, you need to start...
Nude stepping's out?
Well, mate...
What's wrong with a pair of boxer shorts and a pair of footy shorts?
Well, mate, you're only making washing for yourself and there's no one there anyway.
So what is the problem? Comes home and opens up the garage.
That's
Portugal.
I thought of that. But
and
she's,
the garage is also
she's got.
Up.
She's got. Hasn't got one of those sensors in her car. But she's obviously seen me in the nude once or twice in the last 36 years. Yes, I do step in the nude. I can't see what the problem is with it.
1-300-500. The open lines are open. I'm sure they will go Burke.
Okay, well, I'm just saying I don't have any kind of criminal record whatsoever, but I am happy to take all my clothes off right now and show you me in the nude. I've got absolutely no problem with it.
Now you have drunk the Kool-Aid.
Okay, cool. No, I do. So you're not doing that.
Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll have somebody who knows a bit about rugby league, Nathan Brown, joining us after 3 o'clock. That's the ex-coach, Nathan Brown. Maroons pub quiz coming up as well, and we need to talk about those Tigers, everybody's second favourite team in here, up against the Sharkies, and a good win for the Tigers as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Sunday Sinbin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Sunday Sinbin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. And, of course, we do it thanks to all our friends who have come back on board. And that would be Mitsubishi Triton. Get in your Triton now and do a couple of doughies wherever you are. Blow the horn and let off some steam. And thank you. I'm not going to go into it, but loads and loads of support via triplemnrl.com about me exercising in the nude. Apparently a lot of people do it, but let's just leave that there and move on to the topic that we said we'd return to, the St. George Illawarra Dragons. They are in all sorts of problems. Ben Hunt, their halfback, has come under fire once again. Let's have a listen to what Mickey Ennis said about Ben Hunt on Fox League.
He's got some huge decisions to make, Paul McGregor. I mean, under enormous pressure coming into the season, but to lose this afternoon, to have lost three straight now, and the performance particularly of the high-profile players, none more than Ben Hunt in the number 7 jersey, I believe. He has got some big, big decisions to make if he's going to remain as head coach of this club. It's as simple as that, Vaughn. I honestly believe that Ben Hunt needs to be taken out of that number seven jersey. I really think that's an option for Paul McGregor. Not to take him out of the side, I would love to see him just go back into that number 14 jersey, give him some freedom, allow him to play like he does when we see him play for Australia, when we see him play for the Queensland. But at the moment, they're just not getting what they need out of those key positions. Ben touched on their end of sets. They need to improve.
There he is. That's Mick Ennis on Fox League talking about the Dragons' performance yesterday. We all respect the opinion of Michael Ennis. We've been there, done that, Hoops. But, okay, let's say Paul McGregor takes Ben Hunt out of the seven. Who's he put in the seven?
Corey Norman's just as accountable as what Ben Hunt is, the way that I see it. Also, the Dragons forward pack as well wasn't spoken about there, but I think when they review the game, I'm sure there'll be plenty of them putting their hands up as well. The issue Mary's got is he's come out publicly about a week and a half ago and said, righto, perform or you won't be in the side. Well, they didn't score a point, and I'd argue, look, McInnes tried his guts out. Like, he had an absolute red-hot crack. I think he made more than 70 tackles or something like that. But some of the selections, like at the start of the year, we were told Zach Lomax was going to be the fullback. He lasted a game, and we brought Dufty back in, and now Lomax is in the centres. They bought Isaac Luke and a young gun hooker called Billy Britton over the summer, yet neither of them were selected on the bench, and Ewan Aitken was picked as a centre to cover in the outside backs on the interchange bench, when then you got McInnes, who had to do that much defence, understandably didn't have a whole lot left in the tank when it came to running the football, and you could have had an X factor like an Isaac Luke or this other young gun bloke coming on off the interchange bench. So they got that many problems. I can't see Mary surviving it.
It's going to be a tough one. They're going to have to turn around pretty quickly. It's a long season, and there's enough games before anything like that happens for the Dragons to turn it around. There are a lot of guys, not just Ben Hunt, but a lot of guys with big reputations and big pay packets there who are not earning their keep at the moment. It's not enough anymore to say they're upset by Jack DeBellin or they've been knocked out of shape by the Jack DeBellin case. They've had more than 12 months to deal with that. The fact is the Dragons have got to toughen up a bit. But if it doesn't happen soon, it's the coach that will pay the price.
All right. Well, Gordy, you want to weigh in on this, mate? You're an ex-Dragons player. Now, their next couple of games, Dogs, Sharks, Titans, respect to all of those sides, Gordy, but it's an opportunity for the Dragons to aim up, show a little bit of consistency, at least win one or two of those games.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Dragons, I believe, even when I played, when Wayne Bennett asked me about the Dragons, I always said that there's a soft underbelly. You know, like they were never a really tough, gritty side that would ever jump in the trench. And I think that's the case with the Dragons now. And everybody looks at Ben Hunt, and it's probably because of the price tag. But for me, you could count on your hand of how many players are playing to their potential. And it's as simple as that. And, you know, we can blame the coach or whatever, but Most of the messages in every dressing room would be pretty close to the same. I think at some stage the players have to be accountable.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
You know, look, and they might need another voice. You know, I mean, because everybody does need another voice every now and then. But I'm not prepared to say that it's just all Paul McGregor's fault.
No, I don't think either. I think that the players, that there's now a disconnect between the coaches and the players, but as we always know, Gordon, whenever a situation like this happens, it's the coach that will pay the price.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
It's simply cheaper from a club point of view to get rid of one coach than it is to get rid of half a dozen players.
Absolutely, and that's why they went to get Graham, because he's a tough, hard-nosed professional that they thought that the players would have dragged and come up to his standards, you know, and that's not so much on the field, it's around the training paddock that they needed that type of player, but I don't think that they have. And their best, most consistent forward has left the club. Is leaving the club.
Yeah.
If as Paul says, Hoops, if it's easier to turf the coach than it is half a dozen players or whatever the case might be, but in the press conference yesterday, Mary said he's three games in to a two-year contract, which means the Dragons need to evaluate what's going to cost to get rid of Mary. Does it mean that they have to pay out that 2 years? We've never seen the contract.
I think as far as my understanding of the contract goes, the payout decreases significantly next year. So I think if Paul McGregor was to be moved on in the immediate future this season, then I think the Dragons are up for a hell of a lot of a payout. But next year, my understanding of it is that it actually decreases a little bit. And we should point out too, like, there's this perception and a theory with St. George Illawarra Dragons that it's a bit of a boys club, and that people get a charmed run and a bit of a protected species style of existence. And, you know, there's the St. George old school Peter Doust element of the club. And then there's the Illawarra strong side of it as well. And Mary, obviously, all the Illawarra people back Mary to the hilt because he was a Steeler originally. And, you know, he's got that bond and that rapport with that element of the club. But certainly the Dragons side of things, if they had their way, and their phones would be going Burko today, that Mary wouldn't be there. He wouldn't be the coach.
Okay. Yeah, but you can't listen to your fans like that. Like,
no,
fans,
I'm not saying fans, Paul. I'm saying that's the directors at the club.
Yeah, well, even the directors don't always know what's happening within the club. The interesting thing, the other thing is, didn't Phil Gould come into a, you know, highly publicised?
That was a Clayton's review. That was just a smoke and mirrors job.
Why even bother going through the charade? It hasn't fixed anything. Mm.
Okay, well, the other thing is, we touched on it earlier on about at this stage finding a replacement, Hoops.
Well, if you go back to Mary's press conference yesterday, you know, he said they looked like strangers.
Mm.
And he also pointed out that they'd made a lot of changes over the summer in terms of they've got new staff in. They've got Shane Flanagan, who's won a premiership with Cronulla in 2016. He's now doing the defence side of things and obviously has a hell of a lot of experience as a head coach in the NRL as well. He can't come back and take a head job on until 2022, a head gig until 2022.
That leaves a loophole open for Bennett to get there. I know that.
So you, are you buying that?
Well, the mail is that Wayne's contacted someone. He obviously got a lot of contacts from when he played a coach before. And he's contacted someone and said, look, I'm interested if it comes up. Because Wayne's only got next year at the Rabbitohs, and that's it. Okay, and there's nothing else on the horizon. So if a job was to come up for next year and it was a multi-year job for 2, 3, 4 seasons, look, everything we've seen out of Bennett in the past would show that he would leave the Rabbitohs, and they've already got their coach sorted out, ready to go, Demetrio. Apparently, by all reports, very good coach. Yes. So he wouldn't be leaving South in a hole, and he'd be just saying to Demetrio, who's ready to coach NRL now, I don't think there's a whole lot more he can really learn, but he's willing to bide his time. So he just says to Demetrio, now you take over a year early, I'll move on, I'll take over the Dragons, and Saints solve their problem. And I know from a fact, I remember talking to Peter Doust, who's no longer, he was a CEO at the time, but
he's
no longer
on the board now.
He is on the board, yes. But he used to say that the great thing about Bennett when he was coaching at the Dragons was you could go to bed every night knowing that the football operation was under control. Whereas with a couple of other rookie coaches have had in the meantime, that wasn't the case. But Doust was always so complimentary about Bennett in that respect that he understood the way the salary cap, he dealt with the players if there's issues off the field. Though Bennett just handled all that. And that's something that the Dragons might need something. The one thing I'll say about Wayne Bennett as a coach is he is great at adjusting attitudes. And that's clearly the problem at the Dragons.
Mm.
They are a team. There's no, they don't lack for talent within the club, but they're lacking attitude at the moment. They're playing disinterested. They're playing without enthusiasm. They went out against the Warriors side yesterday and yeah, the Warriors were good. What was the NRL record for most completions in a game or most consecutive completions in a game? It was only in the last 5 minutes before they made a mistake. Yeah. Having said that, the Warriors weren't good enough to put more than 18 points on them in that period, despite playing an almost perfect game. The Dragons couldn't get in the contest. So just there's a worrying sign at the club, and they need to address it. Now, Paul McGregor needs a circuit breaker this week. He needs to get his players in, and there's various ways you can do it. You get in, you have an honesty session where you absolutely tear strips off each other, and you get all the stuff that's festering underneath out in the open so you can then fix it. Another way they can do it is if they want to go the other approach is you go and say, boys, no training on Monday. We're going to go down to the pub. We're going to sit down. We're going to have a meal together. Might be
but only 10 of them can go. And the other 10 go to another pub.
Well, that's an issue. But you know what? Get them around to someone's house then and just sit down and under the guise of having have a few beers, sort out what the issue is. But it's at that point already in the season for the Dragons that they need to resolve it quickly, because to try and pretend there's not an issue and to try and slowly massage whatever the issues are and hopefully you can come out of it, they're too far gone for that.
As harsh as it sounds, I think that performance yesterday, it shows that some of the playing group have stopped listening when it comes to the messages that Mary's trying to drive home. And, you know, you look at Gordy, you touched on the bloke who's probably been the heart and soul of the club for many years now in Tyson Frizzell. He's a representative forward and a hell of a player. But for him to leave and go and sign to play with the Newcastle Knights next year, I think it lends itself that there is something there, and that he wanted a change of environment, and that, you know, he wanted to leave this club that he's been a part of for so long. That's not a great sign to me.
Now, boys, before we move on, just quickly, the Warriors yesterday and all that lovely, lovely stuff that happened up there on the Central Coast, 18-0, 96% completion rate, yada, yada, yada. They flew into Tamworth, then they moved to the Central Coast. It's all a flash in the pan, surely. Surely. They got Penrith this week.
Are you putting the slipper into the Warriors?
Oh, bloody earth I am. I'm putting the slipper well and truly into the Warriors.
You've got more problems than I thought.
Yeah.
At home. Nude on that bloody stepping machine. Look, you can't bag them after the performance that they submitted yesterday. The completion rate was absolutely superb, given everything that they've gone through, the sacrifices they've had to make. What they dished up in the opening couple of rounds, substandard, ordinary, wooden spoon material. What they showed yesterday, signs of life. You got to give them a wrap.
Well, but it's only one game up there on the Central Coast, and as you said yourself, against the St. George Illawarra Dragons side that looked like they've stopped listening.
So that's the other side. I agree with you, Maroon. I think there's a case there that as good as it was for the Warriors to come out in their first game back, to come out and have a win.
You can't put the slipper into them now, Kenny.
I'm not putting the slipper into them. Yeah. I'm just saying that I thought the win could have been more impressive if you don't make a mistake in the game until the 75th minute and have all that possession and repeat sets and getting to your kick and good kick downfield, all of that, you've only scored 3 tries against a St. George side that has won 4 games of the last 21. Honestly, seriously, let's not get carried away here. They won't be doing the hucker at any time soon.
But give them a wrap.
I gave them a wrap. Listen to you two Pelicans.
No, it's all lovely.
Hey, listen, and give the Dragons a mate, and I know that you've been, you know, sinking the boot into the Dragons. Well, give the left foot a chance, mate. Give it a rest, and so that they might have had a bit of a go in defence. You know what I mean? And that's why.
All right, boys.
Their attack was lacking because they did so much defence.
Welcome off the bench, Gordon. You always were. Gus was right about you. You always were a bench player.
Scores.
Thank you. Listen, mate. Listen, don't kick us Dragons while we're down.
All right. Scores always thanks to Tyre Power. Get $100 when you buy 4 selected Cooper tyres.
Just lastly on that Dragons attack, I reckon there were 2 pieces of play yesterday which summed up how inept that performance was. One was towards the end of the opening half, they got a couple of 6-to-go calls and then they got a penalty and they had an entire set attacking on the Warriors' try line, and on the last play, somehow front rower Blake Laurie ended up with the ball last play. Then the other one was when the winger was away, Ravalawa, and surely it was catch and pass stuff. Yeah. All he's got to do is get across, and Mamalo comes up with this awesome play where he somehow knocks the ball, and he was over the line, Gordon.
Anyway. Boys, we've got to do the important stuff now.
Sink your left boot into them now, guys.
It's time for the important stuff. Yes, we're going to take a break and come back with Maroon's Pub Quiz. And the topic today, gentlemen, Hoops, Kenty and Gordy, TV trivia, as requested.
Sunday Sin Bin.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Sunday Sin Bin.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, well, after 3 o'clock, we'll be joined by Nathan Brown, former St. George Illawarra Dragons player and coach. But right now, time for this.
Welcome to Maroon's Trivia Night.
Yes, and thank you very much to all the tweets and emails we get, people supporting our wonderful trivia. They say it just brings a little bit of light and shade to the show. Love a quiz night. Can't get to the pub or the club to play, so we just listen in for a little bit of fun with Maroon's trivia quiz. Now, the prize today, Hoops, Kenty and Gordy Tallis, is the other night on Fox League, yeah. Mick Ennis gave Gordy a chips voucher at KFC to have when he's driving up the M1 with Kevy. He didn't spend it. He's given me the chip voucher. So the winner today gets a KFC chips voucher to spend at their will. However, I only have 15 questions. So if it's a tie after 15 questions, you can share the chips.
What about something from Silvio again?
From Silvio's... Oh, the hair removal. Yeah, well, he sent me down some creams so I can remove the hair off you myself, if you like. No, we can do an all-over thing. As soon as we knock off, we can do an all-over thing with you, Hoops. Cartoon and TV trivia, your names are your buzzers. First to three will win the KFC chips voucher. Cartoon and TV trivia question number one. What cartoon character has a friend named Patrick Starr? Patrick Starr. Anyone? Five, four, three, and that is time. Yeah. The answer is SpongeBob.
Yeah, I couldn't think of the bloody thing.
Well.
Question number two. What is Barney Rubble's wife name?
It's Betty. Paul.
Betty? That's right. Betty, but remember to say your buzzer. And Paul leads 1-0. He looks like he might get the chippies.
Look at him. You look a bit like Barney Rubble.
Oh, here we go. Fred Flintstone. Like, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Mate,
no,
look, have you seen your toes, mate? You're the only one I know with toes that could stop a car. So you and Fred are very good.
All right. 1-0, Paul.
Take your pearl necklace off.
Question number two.
Necklace off, Marin.
What are you talking about? Where are you going now? What are you picking on me for?
Billie Jean King.
Good Lord.
It's a Billie Jean King reference.
Question number, this is 1-0 Paul. The next question. What is the name of the postman on Seinfeld? Five, four,
Paul. Oops. Paul. Woody, Newman. Newman.
Paul. No, Paul.
Yeah, thank you, Newman.
2-0.
Mate,
2-0.
You've
got to
say your name, boys.
2-0. The next question.
I did.
Next question.
You've got to say it first, sir.
Here we go. Question number four. If you get this one, Paul, you get the chips voucher.
Righto.
What's the name of the Dukes of Hazzard car?
Gordy.
Gordy.
General Lee.
Oh. Yes, 2-1. He wants those chippies.
Oh, look at him. Hey. 2-1. Put some food up. Off he goes. Yeah. He wakes from his slumber. It's taken 2.5 hours, but he's got there.
Oh, mate, 20 hours of driving.
Okay. Here we go. Next question.
Actually, I'm going to come back to that, Gordy, about your trip home. I heard a funny story.
On the cartoon Ren and Stimpy, what type of animal was Stimpy?
Oh. Paul dog.
Dog is wrong. It's a cat.
Oh.
1-1, Gordy and Paul.
Oh, here we go.
Now, remember, if we run out of questions, you have to share the chips, so do your best. Here we go. Question number six. Who was Batman's butler?
Paul.
Gordy.
Alfred.
2-1. Come on, Hoops. Don't you watch any TV? No wonder you got two kids already. 2-1. Kenty leads and Hoops is not off the thing. Right. What cartoon features the characters Patty and Selma?
Hoops, the Simpsons.
Oh. All right. 2 Paul, 1 Hoops, 1 Gordy.
Mm.
What is Homer Simpson's boss's name?
Gordy.
Gordy.
Montgomery Burns.
2-all. That's a golden pointer. The golden pointer, 2-all. Right, okay. This one, on your buzzers. It's easy, boys. It's easy on your buzzers. On Seinfeld, who is cursed with the Kevorka? On Seinfeld, who is cursed with the Kevorka?
We don't all sit at home and watch just, repeats of Seinfeld. Just, like
you wouldn't
you
say that to Tony Barber, would you? Just answer the question.
Spotting raccoons.
Okay, nobody gets that one. We move on to the next one. The answer is Kramer. All right. Now, this one on your buzzers.
Couldn't
it's
have
easy.
Done the Penske fall. Or?
On South Park, what character constantly dies?
Paul.
Kenny.
Yes, he's done it again. Good on you, matey. You've won a chips voucher there. And that's we say goodbye to you, mate, so you can drop into KFC on the way home and get the chips.
Yeah, I'll go and get those chips. Yeah.
Good on you, mate. We'll catch you on NRL 360. Paul Kent, Hoops, Gordy Tallis, Maroon, and somebody by the name of Nathan Brown, former NRL coach, joins us next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.